Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody. Welcome live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports medicine. All things sports medicine, fitness, and wellness. And yes, people helping people. Brought to you by Global Schoolwear. Stylish school uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger. Hurdle Apparel, high-tech socks. LER, Lower Extremity Review, and MVP Parent Magazines. And the world's largest health and wellness station, UK Health Radio. We got a great doubleheader, Rick Tellender. He's the award-winning Chicago Sun-Times sports writer, former Sports Illustrated writer, journalist, numerous author, and numerous guests, man, on the Sports Doctor. He returns. And then Marjorie Hope. She's the founder and president of America Connected. She's the author of Connect Diplomacy. She'll be joining me. Then the Sports Doctor's in with some Dr. Bob Wisdom. Your emails. Hey, Rick Tellender, welcome back to the Sports Doctor.
Thanks for having me, Doc.
I'm trying to think when it was beginning. I don't know if it's 15, 18 years ago, whatever it was when you were first on, numerous times when we catch up what's going on in the world of sport.
Yeah, it's been a while. I think radio had just been invented.
Yeah, you're right. You know, we have to start off with the passing of two great sports legends, Willie Mays, Jerry West. It hits all of us in the world of sports hard, I think, to me, especially Willie.
Yeah, it's tough. You know, Willie was 93. He had a good life. I mean, that's,
yes.
It's a good age, but to say, hey, kid, you know, just legendary. And, of course, that famous catch over the head, catch, which is like a wide receiver, just an amazing catch that he made. Well, I don't know where the Polo Grounds, wherever that was.
Yes, the Polo Grounds, where you had to hit a ball 900 feet to hit it into the center field seat.
That's right. It's
but like if you hit it down school. The right field line, it could be 260.
Yeah. And then you know, Jerry West, such a great player, such a great jump shot artist.
Clutch.
The
logo.
You know, clutch. And yeah. The thing that I feel bad about him is his most recent portrayal, probably a lot of people remember him this way, was in the series, you know, a very entertaining series called Winning Time, and it was on Showtime. The actual name of the book that it's taken from is by Jeff Perlman, and it was called Showtime. It's about the Lakers with Magic Johnson, that era. But they had to change it to Winning Time because they're not going to put it maybe it was on HBO. They're not going to put Showtime on HBO or Netflix, whatever it was on. But he was portrayed kind of as like a maniac. And I know that hurt him. I think there was a lot of pushback from various people, including him. I don't know how it all played out, but I hope that's not the way they remember him.
One of the very, very few, not only great super clutch player, but also one of the great executives, one of the great coaches, that combination of all these things. So I don't think this quirk with the craziness of sports journalism is going to have anything to do. The man is the logo. It's awfully, they're talking about Willie. You know, I grew up in the Bronx, and it was Willie Mays. It was Mickey Mantle, you know, the guy who could hit a ball 600 feet from both sides of the plate. There's never been anybody like the Mick. And the great Duke Snyder. But Willie Mays with the basket catch and all that excitement was something really, really special. And it's funny, you know, you take all three of these guys, they're 5'11", 6 feet, you know, 195 pounds. Today you wouldn't make the team if you're that size.
Yeah, you know, that's true. And it's funny because they still could hit the ball as far as the huge guys.
Yes.
Are 6'4", 250.
Now you got a guy 6'7", playing shortstop. You know, in the one of the things that I've watched and read all of your columns over the years, your books, great work you did with Sports Illustrated. One of the sports writers, Rick, was the young guy around the table with the sports writers. How long ago was that, Rick?
Well, we did our first show in December of 1985, and then the show ran until, I want to say, almost 2000, I think. Maybe 2001, something like that. It had a long, long run.
Incredible mixture of opinions and humor, tremendous knowledge. It was just really, I know you were so excited to be included. It brought you along. Let's get the young guy, the Northwestern graduate's opinion. You know, you've written a lot. Both of us have talked a lot over the time, whether it was the challenge of youth sports. You know, the guest of mine is the sports orthopedist with the Yankees, Dr. Chris Ahmad. And he was just writing about the 50th anniversary of Tommy John surgery, which was, whoa! And the fact that now 20% of Tommy John surgery is done on teenagers. So, you know, you and I, we've talked about the challenge of youth sports and how there's so much pressure, let alone now with the changing of the paying of players. Talk a little bit about some of these changes from your perspective.
I think you have to start with the fact that everybody wants to win. And to win at anything, the more you put into it, the more practice, the more you focus on it, perhaps the less human you become, because you have to be completely obsessed with yourself. The likelihood of you winning is greater. Are you going to be a terrific person? Not necessarily. It'd be complete narcissism. But what has happened, everybody knows in pitching, you have to make the ball move. I mean, not just fast, but it has to do things. It has to go up, down, or not up. It has to curve right, curve left. It has to maybe have a different kind of spin. It's got to break at this moment. And to do that, that means you have to put tremendous torque on your shoulder, your elbow, even your wrist and your fingers as you try to make that ball with, you know, very slightly raised seams have the resistance that it needs in the air to do something, a slider, a curveball, or a screwball.
Yeah, but you know what's interesting, Rick? There's a lot of orthopedists today, Ahmad included, who talk about that's what we always thought and were taught. It was the torque, it was the elbow, it was kids throwing curveballs too soon. And what they've really recently seen, it's the velocity attention. You know, it used to be there was one or two guys in the world threw the ball in the 90s. Now there's five guys on every team. So the area of overuse, you know, whether it is the young girls doing quad jumps and figure skating or some of these athletes so much bigger, so much faster, it's interesting, you know, whether it's the concussion side or the physical side, the mental side, the pressure has increased dramatically. What do you think the pressure is like now that there's going to be paying of college athletes? I know you've written a lot about that, man.
Well, it's a mess, and it's going to be messier. And what's that? I'm sorry.
I said I hear you.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be messier in years to come. And this all was predictable. I mean, I got to tell you, I wrote a book about it predicting it 30-some years ago. Book came out in 1989. I was writing about things in the 80s, even the 70s.
Yes. What was the name of that book, Rick? What was the name of that book?
The 100-Yard Lie.
Right.
The name of the corruption of college football. And then in the second edition, it became just the college football problem. But it's all spelled out there, and it all is laid at the feet of the NCAA executives, who liked it the way it was going. They liked having unpaid labor, which is fine. It's great as long as you can make it work. And then all of a sudden the Supreme Court weighs in and says, oh, you know, it's fair to make a living in the United States. And if you happen to be 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, even 24 years old, you're an adult. You know, you can vote. You can go to a war. You can do all these things. You should be paid if what you're doing is entertainment. So when coaches are making 10, you know, $12 million a year, athletic directors making $3, $4 million. Conference directors are making, you know, $8, $10 million, whatever they're making.
And if the young player signs his hat, they throw him out of the league. Right, yeah.
Yeah, so it had to happen. And without having a plan for it, you have chaos. And that's where we are now. They had 100 years, the NCAA, to come up with a plan, and they didn't. When I would talk to various people, executives or whatever, they would say, well, what do you mean? We have to give the players W-2 forms or 1099s, or they're going to get...
You know, the whole term, Rich, you and I talked about
yeah,
in the
forever.
Past, the whole term student-athlete was a legal term. It was a term that was created so that the athlete was not an employee of the school, for instance, and or just a student. So let's say they had an injury during their career. Maybe it was a concussion. Maybe it was knee surgery. And they were covered well when they were in school. Afterwards, no, they weren't. They not like the guy who's selling peanuts in the crowd who's going to be covered because of his employment. So there was this long, long-term scheme, and it's interesting, between those NIL compensation for the college players and or the transfer portal has been a little nuts.
Yeah. Yes. And again, it was all predictable and it is a mess and it's nuts, but you can't call work amateurism. And that's what they did for 100 years. And it's like, well, when millions of people watch on TV, when you go from 8 football games or 9 to 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, even 16 games, it has nothing to do with being an amateur. And I have never used that term, student athlete. What else would they be other than students? That's completely a fabricated term that came from Walter Byers, kind of like the dictator of the NCAA for some 40 years. And then in his book afterwards, he finally wrote about it when he left, and he called it the plantation mentality. And it's kind of like, well, thanks, Walter, for telling us that now when it doesn't matter. But he knew all along that it was BS. And so, yes, it's going to be chaotic. And it's a mess, and it was much simpler without the portal, without the name, image, and likeness.
Yeah, let alone
things going on.
So, you know, there's always been an epidemic. There's always been an epidemic, Rick, and you and I have talked about it numerous times, of youth sports overuse injuries. When we're going to watch the Olympics coming up in a month, and you're seeing an 18-year-old, you know that she was maybe 9 or 10, she started doing what she was doing, whatever it happened to be. And there's tremendous pressure, whether it's for scholarships, whether it's, you know, the one in a million to become a professional. And this is where the well-being of a young boy or girl, the relationship with their parents and their coach, this is a topic that I've paid huge attention to over the decades, give or take a few weeks. I think we're making a lot of progress, but boy, there's a lot of headwind.
Yeah, there is. And with the way the college game is going right now, it's not amateur anymore. It's pro. It's just age group professional. Now there will be even more overuse as people will see, hey, I don't have to make it to the NBA or the NFL or the Major League Baseball. I can make all this money in college. Some players are making a couple million dollars a year now. And it would get greater as until they regulate it somehow.
I'm looking at Deion Sanders' son. You know, really, I think he was making maybe $4 million. Interesting, the explosion of women's sports. You just wrote about it 2 days ago, the phenomenon of Caitlin Clark that we've all watched with a lot of excitement. And you made an interesting point, which was, you know, the physicality of the league and some of these other areas and the fact that, you know, they didn't include her on the Olympic team. I don't, you know what I mean? The most popular women's basketball player. I agree with you in your article, man.
Yeah, there's a funny thing that people have actually noted, and some female journalists particularly have stated it. And maybe it's true that women don't like other women who are successful. And this anti...
Oh, boy. Clark, oh, boy.
Yeah, this anti-Caitlin Clark sentiment that comes from, you know, I've heard it from Diana Taurasi. We've heard it from other players. You heard it from all kinds of people like, no, we don't need her. She's not any good. They make it sound like Caitlin Clark was just some walk-on who happened to stumble into the WNBA. Instead of being a two-time college basketball player of the year, the woman who set the all-time scoring record, not just for women, but for men, beating Pete Maravich, everybody, she is a phenomenon. Steph
yes.
Curry is mystified and just loves to watch her play. Steph Curry is probably the greatest three-point shooter that has ever been. And that's what Caitlin Clark brings to this thing. So she's got millions of fans. To not include her on the Olympics, where it's subjective, anybody who makes it, anybody can be put on who wants, I went through it. I mean, who the coaches wanted, the committee wants. I mentioned a couple of players. I can't even remember their name. Oh, JaVale McGee made the men's team, I think, in 2020.
Right.
It's like, he's never been an all-star. He's never been anything. And
they included Christian Laettner, you know, in the
Christian Laettner
in the past. He was there. So I think, again, with the incredible billions of eyeballs, the idea, it's funny, my second guest today, she was talking about diplomacy. Can the Olympics help in the world of diplomacy? Here's a great example of something like that. But it's been very exciting. And here in Chicago, of course, we've got this rivalry going on, man, with and you wrote about that too, whether or not they, you know, they bang this kid around too much. We're not interested in her getting injured.
Yeah, it seems like there's real animosity towards Caitlin Clark, which I pointed out is just, it's kind of bizarre. She has brought millions of dollars to the league. She has raised the standard for everybody. They have chartered jets. They're going to get tons more publicity, more revenue, all the things that the WNBA has claimed to have wanted through all the years.
Yeah, we can understand the competition. Hey, listen, you know, these pros, they want to be able to, hey, rookie, I'm going to put you in your place here. We understand all of that stuff in so many different ways, but it's a little much. And
she's being put in her place by another rookie. Being put in your place is nonsense. It's basketball. It's not a street fight. And if you want to cheap shot somebody, you always can, but that makes you a villain. That's not part of the game. I always like to ask these players, in fact, more and more I wanted to say, do you have any idea what the word sportsmanship means? What does it mean to you? And I don't think they know. I don't think they have an idea what it means to respect your
opponent.
Well,
you bring that to life. That's one of the great parts of everything you're writing about. You're including a big deal about paying attention to the athlete themselves.
Yeah.
Paying attention to...
I'll tell you, Doc, sportsmanship to me is probably the most important part of the game.
On that note, sportsmanship. Rick, where can people, where's the best platform, the Chicago Sun-Times? What's the best site for you?
Yeah, I mean, you can just look up my name, just spell it.
Right.
You know how the internet is, and it pops up.
I'm telling you, man, we're going to keep our eye on you, Rick. It's always a pleasure to have you. The time always flies by. Hold on for a second. Rick Kellender, the Chicago Sun-Times, man, the man's a legend. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharkey Zartman, hashtag HeySportsParents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharkey is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharkey talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctors In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Everybody, Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Hey, everybody. MVP Parent Magazine is special. Evidence-based topics on all areas of youth sports. Rich Dubin, a sports dad himself, takes his 3 decades of publishing. He just celebrated the 12th anniversary of the acclaimed LER Lower Extremity Review magazine, one of sports doctor's key supporters, and he pours it into MVP Parent. Factual evidence-based info on such key topics like physical and mental training, nutrition, injury awareness, treatment, recovery, and prevention. I am proud to be a contributor to MVP Parent with the Sports Doctor is In article in each issue. Go to MVPParent.com. MVPParent.com. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It is the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. We want to welcome Marjorie Hope. She's the founder and president of America Connected. She's the author of Diplomacy. Marjorie, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
You know, your world of diplomacy, connection, your book, Connect Diplomacy, I think your last name, I don't know if you put it in afterwards or whatever, but it's a great last name to have with everything you do.
Yeah, that's actually my name. And listen, I believe with all the things going on in the world, we always have hope.
I think, give us some background, Marjorie, on yourself and this whole America Connected.
Sure. So I actually was involved with politics, and I realized that it was not.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, was. But it was because I don't like what's happening. It's full of division. And, you know, George Washington said it best, because when he was leaving office, he said the downfall of this country will be parties, because that was when parties were just beginning. And unfortunately, what it does is it divides you from what it is you're trying to bring in common to fix with our country. And so the differences are okay to have.
Our country or our team.
Yeah.
You know, the world of teammates, or the relationship with the parents and the coaches and the kids,
right,
and all these other things, which is why I guess when you and I first met, you had asked me, can the Olympics connect us? Good question.
Right.
Great opportunity.
Yeah, and Olympics actually, you know, in our world with all this division and challenges, it actually does stand as a beacon of hope. And it is a platform. Yeah, it's a platform, though, where nations come together in the spirit of unity and sportsmanship. So the question, can the Olympics unite us? It is a great question, and it does shed light on diplomacy and in promoting connection and understanding. So my whole thing is, look, it's okay to have differences. It's okay to not like somebody or something, but you have to have respect. And through my experiences in diplomacy, I have found that when you respect somebody, that's all it is. That's all it takes to get us to come together. And the Olympics was actually started as just for that reason, to bring nations and people closer together. And it deeply.
Yeah, even at the highest levels, even at the highest levels of competition, where winning is winning is winning is winning, of course, participation is a gigantic big deal also, but the tremendous attention to competition shows another example of this. Even at the highest area of tension and pressure, there could be diplomacy with teammates and competitors
being able to get along, et cetera, et cetera. And that's why I think it's one of these examples. I thought climate change would be another one. I thought that the pandemic might be another one where we would have a common area of trying to get together. But boy, oh boy, it's a, and you come out of that world with politics. Good luck to us.
Well, and that's actually how I got into America Connected, because I realized we need to connect with each other. And this bit about the politicians dividing us and saying this one's bad and this one's bad and, gee, everybody's bad and unless you believe exactly like me, you're bad. But that isn't true. And the Olympics is just a perfect example of this in that the Olympics started actually in 776 BCE, which when you think about it, that was a long time ago. And it started with a series of athletic competitions in their city-states of ancient Greece. And that's so interesting because it's like here it was that they were also trying to bring in diplomacy and bring in what they could to have that respect and have that togetherness and that connection.
Well, you have a great title. You know, the title of your book it sums it all up, which is it's a great work. I don't know, you came out, you know, that connect.
I made the word up, but it's now a word. I actually have it trademarked because it's connected diplomacy.
Yes. Well, again, whether you're talking about a group of teammates, you know, we talk so much on the Sports Doctor with the, I call it the mental game, whether I have the best athletes in the world on, whether I have their parents on, whether I have their coaches on. Whether we're talking about my first guest, the famous Rick Kellner, he's talking about sportsmanship. And again, this whole idea of what it takes to succeed, whether it's in sports or whether it's out of sports, but the pressures that are involved. So again, the word connect and the word diplomacy, which sometimes I don't know if we give that any kind of thinking, it's connection to the world of sports. Is an interesting one, and that's why the Olympics become such a great example that somehow thousands of years ago they were able to pay attention to some of this stuff compared to downright win at all costs kind of situations where we see the crazy world of drugs and sports, and we see these kinds of the whole pain pill situation with all of these pressures to play and the kinds of overzealous crazy parents on the sidelines, the team doctors and some of this other craziness, abuse that's gone on in all aspects of sports, whether it's the professional level. You know, Dr. Wild, don't you understand? My son's got to play yesterday. What can we do about it, these kinds of pressures? And then we come up with, where does diplomacy fit in? What do you think about that, Marjorie?
Well, and that's right. I mean, look, going back to the Olympics for a second, it does have this unique power to unite people from all corners of the globe. But by bringing together athletes and spectators from all the diverse cultures, nations, and backgrounds, the Olympics actually develops the spirit of international shared humanity, which hopefully teaches people in everyday life that we can get along, we can have respect and understanding as people all come together to celebrate sportsmanship. And that's something that I hope we can bring back to people, because we had it at one point. You know, we did understand each other.
Mixed in. Yes.
Yeah. So social media is kind of disconnected up there.
No, the sports psychologists, the psychiatrists, the mental trainers, the teachers, professors from wherever they're from, whatever their vocation, talk so much about what social media, the kind of pressure it's put on these kids or grandmas and grandpas. What's the best website, Marjorie? People can go find out about you and your work.
Anybody can reach me at it's Marjorie Hope at MarjorieHope.com. And you can always get in touch with me at Marjorie Hope at itsmarjoriehope.com. It's got everything on there from all the books, America Connected, And, you know, again, serving diplomacy is a powerful reminder of our commonalities and potential to get along in this world.
Well, I think the idea of paying attention, you know, gives us an opportunity, again, the Olympics, to pay big, big, big attention to cooperation and that whole side of things, even though we are all very, very aware of a lot of these, again, different pressures and what's going on. And we have found in the world of sports psychology, in the world of sports medicine, from pediatricians on up, trainers, school systems, the idea of parents and coaches being good listeners has been something we've stressed and talked about with so many of our different guests over time. The idea, my late great sports psychologist who shared the radio with me in the 90s, Jim Vickery, he would talk to his number one rule for sports parents, Marjorie, was don't be a critic on the way home from the game, you know, and some of these. But the mental game, the whole mental side of things, even at the top of the world with diplomacy or the greatest of athletes, I just think we have to pay much, much more attention to some of these things. How has the world of medicine, school systems, how do you find them tuning in to these things that you write and talk about?
Well, one of the situations we have going on here is to get back to the basics of what sports is supposed to do. When you're in sports, yes, it's fun. Yes, it can be exciting and challenging at the same time. But you're doing and trying to be the best that you can be. And that's what life is all about. And I have found that people that have been in sports have learned dedication, discipline, direction, and they have that ability to whatever it is they're going to do, they're going to do it the best they can be. And that's what it's all about. Because if you're trying to be the best that you can be, that doesn't mean that you're going to win all the time. It doesn't mean you're going to lose either. But if we're all trying to be the best that we can be, think how great our world will be.
You know, the discipline alone, when you see, again, an Olympian, after the Olympics, they're getting ready to train another 4 years.
Right.
You know, having that kind of mindset is like, it's like from the moon for most individuals, understanding what it takes. You know, I have a chapter in my book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, called The Prodigy Sports. You know, in sports medicine, we want these kids to experience different sports. We want them to use different parts of the body as much as possible. That's great, unless you're a gymnast or a figure skater or a ballet dancer, where at 12 years old, this is all you want to do.
Right.
This is all you want to be paying attention to. So these, again, these kinds of pressures, and the more talented your son or daughter is, the more we see the pressures, again, of overuse, over-scheduling, over-tension and pressure. And these are the things that we find we need to be better educating, whether it's the school systems or the traveling teams or the club teams, to be you know, paying attention to, because there's so much pressure, both physically and mentally. So again, the cooperation, throwing that word diplomacy in, again, makes a lot of sense. The earlier, the better. Have you found that there's more and more attention being paid to include these kinds of thoughts?
You know, I do, and it's a mind-body
awareness.
Keep
it in mind. Keep that exactly in mind, because we're going to be coming right back. We're talking with Marjorie Hope, the author of Connect Diplomacy. When we come back, it's the Sports Doctor. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. Globalschoolwear.com.
If you live in or near Aurora, Illinois, and you're into sports, fitness at any level, or your son and daughter is, you cannot forget about your feet. Your feet affect everywhere else. There are complex motions that come into play. especially in sports. Your ankles, knees, hips, and back all are affected with your foot mechanics. Come visit the office, Dr. Bob, and get evaluated. Check what shoes are best for you. I offer prescription orthotics, which is usually one of the major tools for treatment and prevention of foot-related ankle and leg problems. Also, enhancing performance. Step or two quicker. Call 630-898-3505 or go to sportsdoctorradio.com.
Hey, everybody, we're back. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Wild, sports podiatrist. We are speaking with Marjorie Hope. She's the founder and president of America Connected. She's the author of Connect Diplomacy. And we were talking about the Olympics getting us together, this whole idea of cooperation, the pressures, all these things. And Marjorie had brought up before the break this whole mind-body connection, which has become such a big deal in wellness and health and wellness. So Marjorie, talk a little bit more about some of the important points of the mind-body connection from where you're coming from.
Well, I think it's important that people, you know, especially in the morning, that you take a deep breath, get that anxiety out for the day. We all have it.
Right.
And I mean, I always advise people, you can do this by drinking hot tea, any kind of hot beverage, because the steam goes in your nose and out, and it actually makes you slow down and calms you down to say, I can do this. And I always do a little saying that says, you know, thank you for the ability to be me, and thank you for the opportunity to be the best that I can be. And as soon as I say that, it sounds so corny, right? But it actually gets your mind set. It's like a reset. I'm ready. I can go out and do today. I did it yesterday. I can do it today. And it's the balancing of the combination of the mind and body, which is actually the cornerstone of a holistic well-being, because we need to be, you know, our mind needs to be continuously learning. We never stop.
It's a big topic. Big topic on the
right.
Sports Doctor forever has been holistic medicine, Eastern and Western philosophies.
Right.
In so many ways, one of my favorite guests, Teresa Power, she was the founder of International Kids Yoga Day. They have, like, I don't know, 40 countries, hundreds of thousands of kids participating and paying attention to the mind-body connection. Yoga is a great example.
Exercise,
and many times, is a great example. Rest and recovery is a big deal. I've been a fan of meditation forever.
Yes.
I think, you know, people need to, whether you're the best athlete in the world or their grandmother, you need to spend 10, 15 minutes a day just, you know, trying to be self-aware, relax, trying to work with recovery. How important do you believe that side of that whole, you know, whether people do visualization, whether they do meditation? What are some of your thoughts on the mental side of, like you first mentioned, reducing anxiety, feeling better, having a better attitude?
Oh, absolutely.
Performing better.
Yeah. I mean, listen, in order to cultivate a strong and healthy body, it requires nourishing food, regular exercise, adequate rest, and time to say to yourself, I can be the best I can be. Because I like that statement, because it doesn't say I will be, because you may not be, but you can be. And you have to go and try your best. And to do that, you have to connect with your inner self through meditation, mindfulness.
You mentioned mindfulness. You know, 20 years ago when I had people on my show talking mindfulness, medicine didn't know how to spell it.
That's funny.
Including mind-body. You know, medicine was injections and surgery and pills. And, you know, today you can't go 5 minutes. And this is such a big deal with the youth also. You can't go 5 minutes without on television or social media without seeing either a diet plan or a pharmacy.
Which is sad. That's so sad. And the best medicine is movement. And that's the number one thing you can do. When a baby is born, first thing they do is they move. Usually they might, you know, be sucking their thumb or moving their foot or kicking. And movement is which is why I love yoga. It's exactly what everybody's movement needs to do. When you're feeling
and
that
you have a lot
day,
of choices. You know, again, I'm a big, tremendous walking fan on the Sports Doctor for a million years. Families can be participated. Parents can be a great example. Weight control will be a whole lot. If you walk every day a few times a week, you'll never be overweight. And again,
and
we've made a big
better.
Deal. Yes. The Sports Doctor has featured the challenge of childhood obesity forever. And it's still a major problem, as it is in adulthood, this whole diet-related scenario. And that's why I'm so glad you mentioned the term nutrition right out of the box when, again, you were talking about some of these components that we really, really need to be. Again, whether you're the best athlete in the world or you are just looking, you're a weekend warrior, or, again, you have a son or daughter and you want them to be active. And again, the challenge of social media is these kids are on a screen 4 or 5 hours a day. This is a big challenge that we have to really, really pay attention to.
And the computer is a big, huge problem.
Brutal.
Because you're sitting, which is why you need to have a bottle of water by your side, because if you're drinking the water, you're going to have to get up to go to the bathroom. So it's one way to get people up. But, yeah, it is a problem because we're we've turned very sedentary in our lifestyle in this world. And that's something that not every country is like that. But in America especially, the first thing you hear when you go somewhere is, have a seat. I'll be right with you. Why don't you sit down? Or why don't you sit over there? You know, and that's not really healthy. I know you sometimes do have to wait for things, but hey, if you're in the grocery store and you're waiting in line, why not do some toe rises and do a few hip twists? And people might look at you funny, but that's okay. Just smile back. They'll wind up smiling too, and maybe they'll try it also. But it's better than just standing there or just sitting
down.
Oh,
yeah, it's interesting. You know, I've written about pickleball and lower extremity review. In 2021, my article on pickleball was how physical it was and the people needed to be. And again, no one knew how to spell the word pickleball.
That's funny.
And it was, you know, seniors were picking it up, but they didn't realize it's physical. You're moving, you're stopping, you're going in different directions. And in many instances, again, it's about areas that are so important on the Sports Doctor, Marjorie, again, which is awareness, whatever we're talking about. The importance of paying attention to whatever we're talking about, education, and the idea of, that's why I like the term, I like this diplomacy side of things, regardless whether it's the parents and coaches getting along, various the teammates, the idea, again, of how important these interactions can be when it comes to mental health.
And it's also like the three parts of physical fitness. To be fit doesn't mean to be a perfect athlete. It means to be fit in your mind, and your body is doing cardiovascular exercises, which is a fun thing. It means running, jumping, moving around, flexibility. You know, are you stretching? Are you maybe hanging from a bar? That's like the best thing to do.
Yes. Just and to you know hang what's interesting, Marjorie? Pardon my French. People can't be pissed off when they're exercising. Very difficult have an upset mindset while you're doing the activity. It's so much easier to feel good about it. And again, it becomes such a big part of health and wellness. You know, again, the word wellness is such a big deal. And there's no doubt about it. The mental side is huge. This is why I think areas like yours. Yes. You know, America Connected, great term.
Thank you. And connecting through actually working out together, whatever it is you choose to do, just to go out and do some physical activity, it is literally impossible to come back in a bad mood because your endorphins start moving and everything is hooking back up your neurons and you get a smile in your body, not just your face. Because
smile in your body is a great image to end our discussion here. We're talking again, Marjorie Hope. Marjorie, give us again, go to your site. What is it?
It's marjoriehope.com. And if you want to email me, it's marjoriehope@itsmarjoriehope.com.
Great. Thank you so much, Marjorie Hope. Hold on. We'll be right back, everybody, with the Sports Doctor's In segment.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Nature's Medicine for Modern Living, a people and plants dialogue hosted by Sophie.Health. At Sophie, we bring together experts and voices who rarely cross paths. Our quest is to illuminate the ancient world of plant medicine and reimagine it for the connected age. Join us to explore new boundaries of digital personalized medicine with deep roots in the natural world and hear from our community of international pioneers who are validating this new paradigm and improving how we feel, sleep, and cope with daily stresses naturally. Sophie.Health, reconnecting people and plants.
Introducing Hurdle Apparel Socks. Are you ready to step up your sock game? Hurdle Socks go above and beyond by adding unrivaled support and cushioning with their new Matrix Support technology. By using an incredibly thin, anti-odor, anti-perspiration, shock-absorbing web or matrix that's incorporated in between the fibers of their socks, Hurdle is introducing the first socks with an internal structure to support your feet. There is an immediate difference as soon as you wear them in terms of cushioning and support. Walk on and walk easy with Hurdle Socks. Go to hurdleapparel.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Sports Doctor is In segment, where we preview some upcoming guests and topics. We add a little bit of Dr. Bob wisdom, answer a few emails. Great shows coming up. You know, the editor of the great Lower Extremity Review, LER, and MVP Parent Magazines, Janice Raddick, will be returning. You know, Janice corroborated with me on my updating of our originally 2021 article on pickleball for Lower Extremity Review. And she's in the middle of all of their tremendous topics and articles and doctors and therapists. So we're really looking forward. And one of my faves, Lou Vickery. Lou pitched for the Yankees and Cardinals. His pitching coach with the Yankees, Whitey Ford. I met Lou because he was a radio host on Lou in the Morning down in the Panhandle area of the country. And once a month, I came on in the same title, Sports Doctors In, where we discussed so many different topics on youth sports, adults, parents, pressures on these kids. So that's going to be a great show. The following week, again, Tanya Hayes. Tanya is the co-founder of Hurdle Apparel, high-tech socks, really fabric technology. And she's been on before. We want to get an update with her joining me. And then Chance Rodriguez, he's returning. Chance out of New York City. Is involved with the organizations that are involved with electronic medical records, AI technology for podiatry. Populate is the group, orthopedic surgery, physiatry, the whole area, again, of the things that like physician burnout prevention by better efficiency with the craziness of medical records and these times pressures. Great shows, great topics. Dr. Bob Wisdom, you know, my late great sports psychology colleague, Jim Vickery. Jim used to come with me with both our sons when they were in Little League. We used to talk to the parents and coaches. It was our seminar. I would talk about the physical side, using of ice, what's the best shoe, cleats, your feet, your legs. Jim would talk the whole mental side of things. And he wrote a book, Mind Golf. He was involved in the Eric Soderholm sports camps way ahead of his time at a Northwestern university, sports psychology. And the reason I'm bringing him up, he always said to sports parents, don't be a critic. Don't be a re-evaluator of your son or daughter's activity. Don't be dressing them down on the way home, whatever the problem was. Great advice for sports parents. Be a good listener. Have empathy. Be positive. Don't be a critic. Bill said, my 12-year-old daughter diagnosed with Hagelin's deformity. You know, Hagelin's deformity, fancy word, a bump on the back of the heel. Sometimes the bump is the actual heel bone itself, which is enlarged. Usually it's not that big a deal. But when you add figure skating and you're in a boot, you're like in a cast, any enlargement to that area can be problematic. Almost always having the boot maker, fitter, punch out that area. I've been putting orthotics in skates for decades for that problem alone. Control excessive motion, which irritates the area. Rarely is it a surgical problem. If that's the first opinion, get another opinion. See podiatry, pay attention to that boot, and understand the role of orthotics to control excessive motion, which is really, really very, very helpful. Many times the bump is not the bone, it's the soft tissue, again, because of that constant excessive friction of the foot. And sometimes the foot type, that flat foot, the excessively pronated foot, is a problem. Jordan says, my 14-year-old son, he runs cross country, again, with the shin splint. What are your thoughts? Almost all persistent shin splints, and shin splints, Jordan, is not a medical term. Not a diagnosis. It could be stress fracture. It could be tendonitis. It could be inflammation of the soft tissue. So you need to get that diagnosis specifically. Almost always the inner side of the lower leg between the knee and the ankle, and the tendon area runs down there. And I got news for you, Jordan, 80% of the shin splint problems that are persistent or recurrent are foot related. We've been using orthotics and runner shoes for decades with great success. Many times it's missed if the feet don't hurt. Often the physical therapist or the orthopedist, if this is who is seeing your son, if he's not complaining about his feet, then often the foot mechanics are not paid enough attention to. And the flat foot especially, excessive pronation causing that tendon and muscle to be overstrained as that foot slaps down. So you really want to pay big attention. Great news is when you combine orthotics, proper shoes, then we would really get rid of this redundancy with your son. Again, Run With It, my segment on the British Columbia TV show. Every month we have a 6-7 minute segment. The sports doctor is in with hosts. She's been a frequent guest of mine, Christine Blanchette. Hey, everybody. Catch you next week. I got it right. Sports doctor. Thank you.